My name is Mark Carey, and back in the early 90s, I played an unnamed German officer in an episode of Allo 'Allo, the name of which I can't remember. I was hoping that you could remind me what the name of the episode was. It was the episode in which they catch a huge fish, I think, and put a camera, is it, or a bomb inside the fish. I got involved in Allo 'Allo in a very straightforward way, I suppose. It happened that I was doing a play in a small dinner theatre in a place called Eye in Suffolk, and I was doing an Akebourne play there, and I got a telephone call from my agent long before the days of mobile phones. I got a message to ring my agent on the landline, which I did, and she told me that I had an audition to meet the casting director and the director of Allo 'Allo. And of course, I was immediately excited and interested because I knew very well what Allo 'Allo was, and I was very keen to be a part of it. So they sent me the script, the pages of the script, and I read the part and went along to the BBC studios in Acton, I think it was in those days. And I did an audition. And then about a week later, I got a call saying they would like me to play the part. So it was a very traditional way of getting a job for an actor. I didn't know anyone involved. I didn't know the casting director. I think they'd seen my photograph in Spotlight, which is the directory for all actors. And they'd seen that back then in the 90s, I was a young, blonde-haired, sort of German-looking, possibly young actor. So I think that's how I got the audition. The way that the episode I was in was filmed was in a very traditional way that they used to do sitcoms, and sometimes today they still do it, although it's not. It was very standard in those days. Most of those sitcoms were filmed in the same way, and what I mean by that is you'd rehearse in the rehearsal BBC rehearsal studios in Acton from Monday to Friday. You'd have a read through, and then you'd work through the scenes in the rehearsal room with the set marked on the floor with bits of tape. And then you would then go into the studio at BBC TV Centre on a Saturday afternoon. You'd have a rehearsal on the set, and then in the evening, a live audience would come in. I'm sure you know this. A live audience would come in. They'd got free tickets to come and see the show. They were usually fans of the show. And they'd sit in the audience and watch as if it was a theatre piece. But of course, you'd have to stop for if anything went wrong, if anyone forgot their lines, or if anything technical went wrong, you had to stop and go back and do the scene again. And any location shots would be shown on big monitors, on big screens to the audience, so that they could record the laughter live and put it in. It wasn't canned laughter, as I'm sure you know. It was real laughter. And the other thing they did, which was very traditional and a great way of doing things, I thought, was they'd have a warm-up comedian. So a comedian would come on and talk to the audience and tell some jokes and make them get them in the laughing mood. And then the filming would start, and it would take about an hour, maybe an hour and a half, maybe a bit more for a half an hour episode of a sitcom. And the whole thing would then be done and dusted, and it would be edited back together. I've got quite an interesting story to tell you about the episode that I was in. If you want me to tell you that now, okay, I will. So at the BBC TV Centre, we're there on Saturday night, and we're filming this episode. And I don't know if you know, I'm sure you do know, but Gordon Kaye, the lovely actor who played René, the main part in Allo 'Allo, he had not long before this had suffered a rather freak and not very nice accident. He'd been driving in his car, and the storm, there was a freak storm that night. And as far as I understand it, a piece of wood from a large billboard had blown off on from the side of the road and had gone, unfortunately, through his windscreen and hit him in the face, in the eye, and had injured him quite seriously. He was taken to hospital and fortunately survived, but he was left as a man who suffered then epileptic fits, quite deep and serious epileptic fits. And every time he had one of these fits, he would have to go to hospital and be monitored and make sure he was okay, because they were quite severe seizures. So that's the background to my story, because on the night of the filming of the episode that I was involved in, I went from the backstage area, as it were. There were two sets of double doors between the area where the actors would get into makeup and costume and the sound stage where the thing was filmed. There were two sets of double doors to stop sound seeping through, obviously. And as I went through the first set of double doors and approached the second set of double doors, there's a little sort of void, a little lobby area. And as I came through there to do my second bit in the episode, I discovered dear old Gordon Kay on the floor, clearly, obviously, having a seizure. I think what transpired, we found out subsequently, was the swing doors had probably swung back and hit him around the back of the head, because it's that sort of thing that would bring on an epileptic fit for poor old Gordon. And so I discovered him, found him having a fit, which is not a pleasant thing to experience. He was, he was clearly having a seizure. And of course, I went straight to whoever I could find immediately who was on the technical side of things, the floor manager or one of those people. I don't remember who it was I found, because it was, it wasn't a nice experience for me either. And we had to stop the filming. We'd done about half of the episode. We stopped the filming because of because it was a personal thing to Gordon, and he didn't want it to be necessarily public knowledge that he had these epileptic fits, that the floor manager went in front of the audience and said, "Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, due to technical difficulties," which was a white lie, "due to technical difficulties, we have to stop filming here, and we'll come back next week. If you would come back next week, that would be smashing, and we'll do from here on to the end, and we'll splice the whole." So the long and the short of it is, Andrew, I did an episode of Allo Allo that took 2 weeks to film, and two Saturdays in front of an audience rather than the one. I can honestly say to you, it was a terrific experience. They were really welcoming. Sometimes as an actor, you go and do and play a small part in an established cast. They all know each other. They're all getting on fine. They've known each other for years. They're having a fine old time. Without being unfriendly, often these a setup like that can be a bit intimidating to an actor who just comes in to do a small bit and be around for a week. But I have to say, they were really, really friendly. And the lovely actor, I have to apologise here, I'm terrible for remembering names. You'll know his name. The actor who played Herr Flick was particularly friendly to me. And he lived quite near where I lived in London in those days. And he gave me a lift home from rehearsals every night. And I can't say I got to know him well, or we continued to be friends. But for that week, we had a very nice, and I'd worked with his wife, actually. I'd done a production of Annie, the musical, with his wife, the actor who played Herr Flick. I'd worked with his wife, so we had a connection there. He was nice to me. They were all very, very nice to me. And as a big fan of the Carry On films, I was so pleased to meet the people who'd been in the Carry On films in the cast. And everyone was very nice. They were a tight-knit group, and they knew each other very well. And they were a team, and they were very friendly, but they weren't in any way exclusive. They were very welcoming. And I think that's true of the Croft and Perry sitcoms on a whole. I think it was... They used a lot of nice people there. I think same is true of Dad's Army. They used a lot of people who were friendly and nice and got along. And when you're doing a show like that, there's a certain amount of pressure, and it's important. I had a really nice, well, it should have been a week. It was 2 weeks in the end, but I had a nice time. I had two short scenes. I think my first scene, I had three or four lines in the cafe with another actor my age, who was playing a young German officer. And we fancied, the scenario was that we fancied, we rather liked the look of the two German officers who were dressed up in drag. Do you remember they came down dressed as women? And the comedy potential of the scene was that me and this other young German officer, as it were, fancied these two women, although of course those watching that episode knew that they were two of the regular characters dressed up as women. So I had three or four lines in that scene where I said, "Oh, look at those two. I rather like the look of those. You know, I prefer mine to yours," that sort of thing, with this guy, a short bit of banter. And then I had another scene later on with one or two lines. That first scene, I have to say, was, Andrew, was pretty nerve-wracking. We're in front of a live audience. Although we've rehearsed for the week and we know exactly what we were doing, it was suddenly very different because there were a couple of hundred people there watching. The pressure was on. You know, I had, and this other chap, we had a few lines. We didn't want to mess it up. And I suddenly felt very nervous. And actually, I shamefully have to tell you this, that I slightly muffed my first line. I got it just a bit wrong. It wasn't too bad. It would have been fine. But fortunately, they had enough time to do it again. I think mainly for other reasons. I think other things had gone slightly astray as well. So I was very relieved to have another go at it and try and the second go, I did it better. I didn't get tongue tied. But it was a big scene, you know. Rene at the start of every episode would make quite a long speech, wouldn't he? Here I am in my cafe. This is what's and it was that scene. So it was, and there were a lot of extras. A lot of the regulars were involved. It was probably a 4 or 5 minute long scene, which is, you know, as you know, in TV terms, that's a long scene. It was quite involved. So, yeah, it was nerve wracking. But in the end, we had a second go at it and I managed to not fluff my lines. The situation with royalties of those shows that are now, you know, 20, 30 years old is quite interesting. Yes, I do still get a royalty whenever Allo Allo is shown. It's more that you get a bit of money when it's sold to a country around the world. As you know, Croft and Perry sitcoms are shown all over the world. And every now and again, I'll get a, it's now dwindled and dwindled to rather a small amount of money, but every now and again, I'll get a little, well, it's not check anymore. It used to be a check. Now it's obviously paid in internet banking. But yeah, I'll get a little piece of paper from my agent with a printout that Allo Allo has been sold to, you know, Armenia, and has been sold to Papua New Guinea, and has been sold to somewhere else. And you get a few quid. At first, you know, those residuals, those repeat fees for when it's sold, start off by being quite nice, you know, a nice little surprise windfall. They do dwindle as the years go by, obviously, as you can expect, because the amount of repeat fee gets smaller and smaller. So, you know, it can even be just a couple of quid sometimes. But yeah, it's always puts a smile on my face when I get an email from the agent to say that, you know, the BBC are paying me a few more quid for that lovely week I had on Allo Allo. I think I'd like to play the part that Arthur Bostrom played. Now, I share an agent with Arthur Bostrom now, and I only went with this agent a year ago, right before, she's my new agent, as it were, and I went with her just before lockdown started. And I hear that she occasionally, well, I know for a fact, she occasionally has a really nice party where all the clients are invited to go to her office and have a little drink and a catch up. That hasn't happened this year for obvious reasons. But as soon as that does happen, and if Arthur Bostrom is there, I'm dying to go up and have a chat with him and see how he is. Because, I mean, he won't remember me from all those years ago. But I remember watching Allo Allo and really, really enjoying that character and thinking it looks like he's having a really good time with those, garbling all those vowels and doing that silly the silly thing that he did with his lines. So yeah, that's the part I would like to play, because it seems to me that he didn't have to do an awful lot to get some really great laughs. He would often just turn up for a couple of lines, a couple of minutes each episode, and not steal the show, but get some really good laughs. So if I had the choice, that would be the part that I would have. Favorite scenes of Allo Allo. I can't really remember any specific ones. I remember really enjoying the show, and it's the characters that stick in my mind that I used to really enjoy. That the airman coming in, falling in through the ceiling, and those sort of things. Those are the things that when I think back now, I remember those with a lot of affection, and they make me chuckle. And when I do occasionally see it on the TV, an episode, it's those things that stick in my mind that I really enjoy, not a particular episode. I have to say that when my episode is my episode, I grandly say, when the episode I was in is shown, I do always get the odd email or text from people or a Facebook message or something saying, "Saw you in Hello, Hello. My God, you've changed," and all that sort of thing. So it's great. It's like an old friend, you know, who that I knew very briefly back in the 90s, but like I say, I have a lot of affection for. The things I remember about Hello, Hello that you're asking me about, of course, I have to preface this with the fact that, you know, it was a long time ago, and I've done a lot of, you know, many little appearances in TV things, so. That my memory of it is not as clear as it might be. But one thing I do remember is that between the technical rehearsal on the Saturday afternoon when we ran through it for the first time on the set with the lights and everything, then after that there was a gap of a couple of hours where the actors had a rest and something to eat, and the technical people got all the preparations for the evening shoot, and the audience came in to the auditorium, and all those things happened. And I remember being in the canteen at the BBC, and Gordon Kaye and Carmen Silvera were sitting together talking. They were obviously old friends and knew each other very well and had worked together lots. And they called me over. They saw me sitting there having a cup of tea on my own, and they called me over, and they were really nice to me, and they said, "You know, this is great fun, isn't it? It's a, you know, it's daft and it's silly and it's not Shakespeare, but it's brilliantly written, and it's great fun, isn't it?" And I said, "Yes, I've, you know, thank you so much. I've thoroughly enjoyed my week. I didn't want to interrupt your downtime between the tech and the show, but thanks very much." And they were really warm and friendly. They'd seen me there, and they knew that I was in that episode, of course, and they were very keen to make sure I was okay and I was enjoying myself. So I remember that, because I know neither of them are with us any longer, and I have a very fond memory of that, and I thought it was very sweet of them. They didn't have to do it at all, and they did, and I appreciated it. I've never been in any other Croft and Perry sitcoms, unfortunately. I would love to have been, because we all know what wonderful scripts they were and how legendary they are, all those series. You know, we were all brought up on them, weren't we? I mean, I remember from as long as I can remember watching TV, there was one of those lovely shows with "You've Been Watching" coming up at the end. You know, from Dad's Army onwards, and they've always been part of our lives, haven't they? And no, I've been in a few sitcoms in my time, but never one written by Croft and Perry, unfortunately. But if someone found a script somewhere, or you know, there were some, I know there are scripts that have never been recorded. So if that happens and there's a part for me, I'd be there like a shot. Thank you, Andrew. It was a great pleasure, and good luck with it all. I wish you all the best.